hunting at the beginning, and then those subprime mortgage worries kicked in once again. We seem to be in a bit of a perfect storm here, a downward spiral, don't we?
We do. I mean, these markets are looking a little oversold at the moment, so, you know, hopefully we will see some stability set in. But there is an issue here that is troubling the markets, and it really relates to the, you know, the size of the write-offs that these banks might have to undertake. And the numbers are growing daily, you know. And I think that the concern in the marketplace is that if they're very, very large, and it looks like they could be, that will diminish the capacity of the banks to lend. And if that happens, they won't be able to finance economic growth. And if that's the case, then companies won't make the money they'd be making, and the stock market will weaken. And I think that's, to some extent, what the stock market is really beginning to discount.
And there are a number of other factors playing into this. We've got the high price of oil at the moment, although despite an easing of oil yesterday, that didn't calm nerves on Wall Street. We've got the extremely weak dollar as well playing into things.
Well, the oil price is a bother, you know, but it was a bother, everybody thought, at $50 and $60. I mean, the pain threshold must be somewhere, and I would have thought we're fairly close. The dollar, however, the weak dollar, I think, is a good thing, because the weak dollar enhances the competitive position of U.S. companies in the global marketplace. And after all, there are large areas of the global economy that are still quite strong, like Asia. And here in Europe, it's not as if we're the background here is all that weak. Things are slowing, but there still is a good deal of growth there. So the weakness of the dollar enhances the competitive position of the U.S. economy and U.S. companies, and so that, in a sense, is one of the plus factors at the moment.
But there's no doubt that the weak dollar is hurting particularly exporters here in Europe. I mean, how long before international trade, if you like, begins to slow down because of the weak dollar?
Well, I think that the key thing really is certainly that over here it's having the opposite impact that it should be having in the U.S. The important thing is that the American economy is still a big economy, and if it does slow, or if we do enter a recession, although I'm not sure that is yet on the cards, okay, then the washback clearly will be felt here in Europe, in the U.K., But what that means is that the central banks will then have to respond to all of that. They'll have to cut interest rates. I mean, they just can't stand by and watch the economy move into a recession. But we will see interest rates cut, that will be good.
You've got Ben Bernanke, though, in a tricky position at the moment. I mean, he knows that he's got perhaps one more rate cut up his sleeve that he can play, but by his own admission, inflationary pressures haven't gone away, have they? The underlying U.S. economy is still pretty sound at the moment.
It is. There's a certain sturdiness there, and I think that there is a balancing act. But I think the other point is that if the banks really do have the sort of problems that the market senses they have, then what the central bank will want to avert is the kind of situation we saw in Japan, where, you know, the banks went from difficulty into more difficulty. They had lots of bad debts. They couldn't finance economic activity, and the central bank responded very slowly to all of this. And here we are, 17 years later, still in a secular bear market in Japan, and the economy is not performing all that well. So I think what the Federal Reserve will want to do is it will act fairly assertively, and I think it's already given an indication of how it will respond. After all, it has cut interest rates by 75 basis points so far. And I think what it will say to itself, look, we may have a short-term problem here with inflation, but the longer-term problem is potentially disinflationary, even ultimately deflationary, and therefore we're going to have to respond to it and deal with that more than the short-term prospect of inflation, which in fact could be ultimately disinflationary too. High inflation squeezes real disposable incomes, which in turn reduce spending power. So, you know, it's all pointing in the same direction. It's all pointing as if the way the central banks will have to respond to this is by cutting interest rates. And I think that will eventually limit the downside to these stock markets.